Said I Would Never Break This Promise. Written by Susie Carter. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. He thought at first that that was all it was, that that was why the rest of the league kept watching them so carefully whenever they were in the same room together, whenever they spoke to each other or looked at each other. He didn't know there was anything else behind it. Not until Diana told him. Author's notes. For Wednesday. I realize I'm shoving this in right under the wire Wednesday. No pressure. I just couldn't help myself that the rest of the Justice League thinks that they were in love and feels weird that they're so distant with each other now. Prompt was too good to pass up, even as late in the game as this is. Big grin. Happy DCEU X. Title borrowed from Haim. This is Justice League 2017 continuity because that line about Steve Trevor takes on a whole new parallel now that Wonder Woman 84 is out and is somehow even shippier now. Which, this contains brief spoilers for Wonder Woman 1984, by the way. It's also an extremely self-indulgent Clark learns Bruce was a huge weirdo about him while he was dead story. Sorry, not sorry. It took a while for Clark to get used to being alive again. And it was weird. Of course it was. That Bruce had tried to put him in the ground and then had brought him back. They'd tried to murder each other and then saved the world together. And then one of them had resurrected the other from the dead and then they'd saved the world together again. But they still hadn't talked to each other for more than about 5 minutes at a stretch. They were bound to each other in a dozen different ways, to extremes most people never had to think about, and at the same time, they were strangers. So it was weird. Awkward. When Bruce spoke to Clark, he did it calmly, mildly, even gently. A conspicuous, deliberate effort to in no way resemble anyone furious and armored who had ever cornered Clark in an abandoned building and beaten him half to death. Clark, in turn, felt equally aware of who he was talking to, that Bruce had given him his life back in desperation, even though the only thing he'd ever seen Clark do was lose to him and then to Doomsday. That Clark had to make sure he proved himself worth that effort, that he never gave Bruce even an instant's cause to regret it. He thought at first that that was all it was, that that was why the rest of the league kept watching them so carefully whenever they were in the same room together, whenever they spoke to each other or looked at each other. He didn't know there was anything else behind it. Not until Diana told him. In retrospect, there had been a couple other clues. A conversation he'd had with Barry that suddenly snapped into focus, the way Barry had looked at him, eyes huge and sympathetic, and bitten his lip, and talked about how they were here for him, that nobody was picking sides, that Clark just needed to give Bruce time. Something about it had felt odd, but Clark had decided it was all in his head. The way Arthur had looked at him after a particularly stilted exchange of words with Bruce, wry and full of fellow feeling, just a little bit pitying. He'd clapped Clark on the shoulder and said, "You want to talk about it? You better pick somebody else, but good luck. Rooting for you." Even Victor tended to wince a little around the eyes whenever Bruce and Clark were forced, almost formal with mutual effort, in front of him. But he didn't put it together. He'd gone to Diana for advice, that was all. She'd known Bruce the longest out of anyone in the league. Bruce listened to her, liked her, trusted her. Surely if anybody knew how to get a little bit more comfortable around Bruce, how to get Bruce to do the same in return, it was her. But what actually came out of his mouth when she looked at him attentively and asked what it was he wished to speak to her about was, "Bruce. It's Bruce. I..." He stopped, shut his eyes and let out a breath, and then made himself look at her again. God, I don't know what I'm doing. Her expression turned soft, warm, and knowing. The angle of her mouth was wry, endlessly sympathetic. She reached out and closed a steadying hand over his shoulder and said gently, "It's all right. No one blames you, and Bruce least of all. You've been through so much." And then, without even the barest hesitation or uncertainty, "But I have no doubt that he still loves you, and will, no matter how long it may take for you to relearn each other." Clark felt like someone had hit him in the face, like the world had turned sideways. He couldn't make the words make sense, and he didn't know whether he'd lost his mind or if Diana had. "He still loves me," he repeated, blank, trying to understand whether he'd missed something, whether Diana meant something other than, "Of course," Diana said firmly. "He's only trying to be careful of you, Clark. He doesn't want to make any of this more difficult for you than it needs to be." She paused and her face turned grave. "And of course, if you feel you've changed too much to be with him again, as you once were, that's all right. He'll understand. If anything, I think he already believes that very likely, and he'll give you no argument against what's best for you. That's all he's ever wanted." What in the hell? Surely Bruce had never in a million years said a thing like that to Diana, even as a joke. It had to be a misunderstanding, wires crossed somewhere. But she'd known Bruce the longest. She'd known him since Clark had died. When could it have happened? How long had she spent believing this, and how could she have managed not to realize she was wrong? Clark swallowed, drew a slow breath, and let it out. You've talked to Bruce about our relationship before?" Diana smiled at him kindly and squeezed his shoulder. "Well, of course I knew you knew each other," she said. "You were together when I arrived, already prepared to face doomsday." And God, of course! A piece snapped inexorably into place. Clark had always been more than aware that about 3 minutes before, Bruce had had a kryptonite blade at his throat, standing there next to Bruce instead, had felt like a fever dream. But what had Diana seen? What did she know about any of it? Nothing. She'd been rushing to the port from an airplane she'd left to take off without her. "Is she with you? I thought she was with you." That had been Clark, not sure what to think or where Diana had come from, why she was there and choosing to help them. And Bruce, offering him an unexpected concession, instead of choosing to pretend he had held Diana as a trump card, could turn her against Clark if Clark stepped out of line, or any of a dozen other things he might have done. What had Diana thought? That they were friends. That they were teasing each other, even. "And," Diana was saying, "then I went with him to your funeral." Clark felt his whole body go still. "He would not go to you, to your coffin. I suppose it was too hard. He could never have expected to lose you in such a way. And I was..." Diana stopped. Her jaw had set and her eyes were bright. "I was foolish, unkind. I'd gone so long without fighting, telling myself it made no difference. And then at last, when I chose to let myself believe otherwise, when I went to the port to fight with you, we lost anyway." She fell silent, pressed her fingers to her mouth for a moment, and then she met Clark's eyes again, rueful. "I said to him that men had made a world where standing together was impossible. Clark blinked. That was a sentiment he'd have expected coming from Bruce, not Diana. I should have realized what he would think, Diana went on, that it would seem as though I dismissed all that you and he had done together before that day. Stalked each other, Clark thought distantly. Hunted each other down, dug up reasons to call each other a threat, smashed each other into concrete walls over and over and over again. But he told me I was wrong. That whatever people did to each other, however badly they hurt each other, they could rebuild, too. They must. And Jesus, what must that have sounded like to her? Like what? Bruce reminding himself that he could recover from his grief, from the pain of losing Clark, because she'd had absolutely no idea what it really meant. But Clark, hearing her say it, felt suddenly sure that he knew. Bruce telling himself, asserting to himself, that he could do better. That he must. That he'd hurt people, and badly, but that wasn't all that he was capable of. That Clark, somehow, had made him understand that. He had failed you in life, Diana murmured. But he vowed he would not fail you in death. Clark felt... he didn't know how he felt. His heart clenched in his chest. His throat was tight. For a moment, he couldn't breathe. God. Bruce had never told him about that. And probably never would have come to that. And it was a strange, sharp ache. A pang to imagine it. Bruce going on just the way they were, stiff and cautious, holding Clark at a careful distance, never saying a word, never even giving Clark the chance to understand that he... Not that Diana was right. She couldn't be. But it still meant something, didn't it? That Bruce had thought about it like that. That he'd said that where Diana could hear him. I should have known then, Diana said wryly. But I didn't. Clark swallowed. So when did you figure it out? Not that there had been anything there to figure out or ever would be. But he was caught now. Thinking of Bruce standing in a Smallville cemetery in a black suit, mourning him. Caught and hopelessly curious. Because, Jesus, Bruce had done more? Something else? Something that had struck Diana as so telling that she'd come to the conclusion that was thoroughly wrong? Diana paused. The look that crossed her face was surprisingly sheepish. While you were gone, she admitted, we argued more than once. Clark blinked. He'd always thought of Bruce and Diana as friends. Bruce so obviously trusted her, and it was so hard to imagine Diana truly losing her temper. Diana's mouth quirked. Perhaps you have noticed it, too. Bruce can be awfully stubborn. Yeah, Clark allowed, unable to keep from smiling. What he wanted to do, to bring you back. I wasn't sure that it was wise, Diana said, gently confessional. You must understand, it wasn't that I didn't want to think it would work, or that I didn't care to see you live again. No, of course not, Clark assured her. But Bruce was set upon it. Out of guilt and out of grief, he acted as though he were responsible for it, as though it was his mistake to fix, though it was Doomsday who had killed you. I pressed him. Diana's expression turned grim, shadowed. I told him he must move on. She shook her head. even to a man who had only lost a friend, that would have been unkind, and I knew it even as I said it. But then he asked me whether I had learned that from Steve Trevor. Oh, Clark heard himself say. After that, I understood what he must truly have lost with you. To have such a thing taken from me had left a place in me empty, even after almost 100 years. And I... She stopped and bit her lip. I once had the chance to bring Steve back to me, and I took it. Only when all the world was at risk because of it could I force myself to give him up again. And my heart was broken by it for a long time. So I hardly have the right to blame Bruce for doing the same, and heeding no danger in the doing of it. She rubbed a hand across her face, steadying herself. And then she looked at Clark again, and she must have seen something in him. Her eyes went narrow. I suppose he has told you none of this. No, Clark said, which was only the truth. No, he hasn't. I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, Diana said, and offered him a reassuring smile, squeezed his shoulder again, and then let go. Perhaps you should talk to him about it. Yeah, Clark agreed. Maybe I should. He couldn't do it then. He couldn't have done it right. His heart was pounding, and he couldn't think. Diana was still wrong. Of course she was. He and Bruce weren't anything, and they never had been. But now that he understood what she thought, what had made her think it, it wasn't an angle he'd ever looked at Bruce from. It would never have occurred to him to try. The idea that Bruce felt anything even approaching that for Clark had been practically laughable. He'd already felt like he knew what Bruce thought, like there were no questions left to ask. Bruce didn't know him, didn't entirely trust him, had dug him out of his grave and raised him from the dead because it had been the only play left that might save the planet. And Bruce probably would never have given him any reason to think otherwise. So good thing he talked to Diana first, apparently. He left, instead. He left and he got a grip. He focused on other things and let himself turn it over in the back of his mind, let himself get used to the shape of it there. He paid attention, too. He couldn't stop himself. It felt impossibly stupid at first to have tricked himself into actually looking for it. But the thing was, Diana was wrong. But there was something there. In the way Bruce was around him, the way Bruce spoke to him, the way Bruce's eyes moved across him. It wasn't even new. It was just that Clark, from where he'd been standing before, had seen a deliberate, impersonal distance, enforced caution, a regimented and exacting decision to extend some semblance of good faith. That wasn't how it looked to him anymore. He wasn't far enough over the edge to presume that it was love. But it was something, and it was there. And Clark could have ignored it. But he didn't want to. A week later, he finally took the plunge and cornered Bruce in a workroom at the hall. Which was to say that he listened for Bruce and found him, followed the trail of sound straight to him. Bruce didn't stop working or even look up when Clark stepped through the doorway. He had a hand resting on the work table in front of him, and its touchscreen surface was displaying something for him that looked to Clark like an unnecessarily complicated new kind of grappling hook. But something about the way that he was standing, the way he was holding himself, changed just a little. Tension, Clark would have thought before. Discomfort. He didn't know what to call it now. When Clark failed to walk in past him to do something else or to say anything, he did lift his head after all, turning to look at Clark past his shoulder and raised his eyebrows. "Am I interrupting?" Clark said. "Nothing urgent," Bruce allowed after a moment, level. And he could clearly infer that Clark hadn't come to him with something urgent either. One quick, sweeping pass of close scrutiny applied in his gaze, and then the bulk of his attention returned to the work table. Which was fine with Clark, because his heart was already hammering a little too hard, and Bruce looking at him while he tried to figure out how to do this wasn't going to make it any easier. "I had an interesting conversation with Diana the other day," he managed. Bruce made a vaguely interrogative noise and didn't look up again. "She seemed to think I might need a little reassurance that you understood why I needed some space, that you'd wait as long as I needed you to, and that I shouldn't worry that you'd fallen out of love with me while I was dead." Bruce didn't do anything as obvious as whip around to stare at him, or hit the wrong button and make the screen start to smoke. He went still, every single muscle in his back locking up abruptly tight, and then he brought his head up again, slow, and his eyes met Clark's, his face thoroughly, impenetrably shuttered. "Turns out she's under the impression that you and I were together before I died. I'm pretty sure she's mentioned it to Barry and Arthur and Victor, too. Maybe to explain to them why you were so set on bringing me back. I don't know. They think we're in love, and we're keeping each other at arm's length now because we don't know how to talk about it. Because we need to relearn each other." Bruce looked away. Nothing about his face changed.
"I assume you corrected her," he said.
"No," Clark said. "I didn't." A muscle in Bruce's jaw jumped. Clark took a step closer.
"I can," he offered unsteadily, "if you want me to. But I..."
He risked another step. Bruce didn't back away, didn't do anything, and Clark bit his lip and reached out, opening his hand to set it against Bruce's back, the sharp angle of his shoulder blade hard beneath the crisp line of his dress shirt.
"She's right, isn't she?" Clark murmured. "A little bit. She's a little bit right about you." Silence stretched.
"Does it matter?" Bruce said at last, and his voice was shockingly normal.
"Does it? Of course it does," Clark said, startled.
"It isn't your problem," Bruce said. "It would never have been your problem."
And Jesus, of course he'd decided Clark was accusing him of it, demanding an explanation for it, probably about to ask him to leave the league or at least make sure he stayed at least 3 feet away from Clark at all times.
"No," Clark said. "No, Bruce, it's not a problem."
And Bruce did look at him then, finally, which was great because that made it easier for Clark to touch his face, his mouth. A spark then, uncertain disbelief passing through his eyes, and that was enough for Clark to think he wasn't going to get shoved away for this. So he leaned in close, skimmed his hand across Bruce's stubbled cheek to his jaw, and drew him in and kissed him.
It was new, of course. New, wildly unfamiliar. But Clark hadn't been able to stop imagining it. That Diana thought they'd done it before, more times than they could count, and that they would again, that they'd loved it, that it was good. And it was good. It was good. And he hadn't been any better at moving on than Bruce had been with him, stuck on this, doing this awkward shuffling dance, refusing to just give up and leave Bruce alone instead. He hadn't been able to wash his hands of it and walk away. That was the whole reason he'd gone to talk to Diana in the first place, trying to work out what he could do about it, how to get closer to Bruce than he had been. Finally, they broke apart. Bruce's face was still unreadable, but his mouth was red and wet, and Clark couldn't stop looking at it. "I'm not in love with you," he said. "Okay," Clark agreed. "But you don't not like me." Bruce didn't move. His throat had flushed, heat gradually creeping up towards his ears, the apples of his cheeks. "I don't not like you either," Clark told him. And he gave Clark such a painfully flat look that Clark was laughing when he tugged Bruce in and kissed him again, and it was clumsy, off-centered, misaimed. But that was fine. They were new at this, and they were just going to need a little more practice. The end.